Hello and welcome to another installment of Casual Trekker. This is Scott. This is going to be my review of Season 2, Episode 9 of Strange New World, Subspace Rhapsody. And as we all know, or should know, unless you've been living under a rock for a good long while, this is the musical episode that we've been either waiting to cringe at or be like, ooh, I like what they did there. And I think they pulled it off. Because the one thing that drives me absolutely bonkers in musicals is when the song just doesn't really make sense with what's happening. Like, it's not part of the actual scene. Whereas these, all the songs, were part of what they were actually doing. It wasn't like, it's not like they started singing some Katy Perry song. Just because, right? The songs that they were singing were impactful to them. Even if we don't like the song, from the character's perspective, it had something to do with them. This is especially apparent with Laan, when she was singing about Kirk and her feelings towards him. And then we got to see the realization that the Kirk she knew and the Kirk of this timeline, while being similar in a lot of ways, are not in others. And the time of their meeting, he, of course, has an on and off again relationship with Carol Marcus, as mentioned in the episode, and she's pregnant with David. So, at least she was able to shoot her shot, and she didn't have to worry about regret from not doing it. Or at least, yes, closure on that, and it wraps up that storyline from the third episode, Tomorrow. And we also got some canon closure also with the Nurse Chapel and Spock romance. Because in the original series, Star Trek, back in the 1960s, she was always pining for him, you know, was in love with him, but he never gave into it, and now we got to see why. He was exploring his human side, he was trying to make things go with Nurse Chapel to see where they went, and she had this really big opportunity, and she went with it, and he said, I will never again make this mistake. And so that kind of leads us into the character description we see in the character depiction we see in the original series going forward. Although there's no mention, of course, of these events because they didn't exist yet. The writers had no clue that there was going to be people bringing back Star Trek more than 50 years later to TV screens in a show that is a prequel to the original series. So, you got to give it a little bit of latitude. I mean, you could argue that the whole entire thing exists in a timeline adjacent, which a lot of Star Trek does anyway. I mean, anytime you start you have a time travel episode, it opens the possibility of having a different outcome. Like, for instance, the Khan stuff. Khan could very well be the exact same age that Montalban was when Jim Kirk wakes him up in Space Seed, when it happens in a couple of years from the original series perspective. Just because he's a kid in 2023 or 2022, depending upon when you want to place it, because it was filmed in 2022, even though they modified that, he can still be put into space at the same age that Khan originally was and be put in space and be woke up by William Shatner's Kirk and then portrayed by Montalban, and it won't really do anything harmful to anything because he still has to be frozen for more than 200 years. And not to mention the fact that the historical record was kind of shaky at best, and the eugenics wars weren't exactly hammered down, and a lot of people are going to, like, you know, memory alpha and things like that. That it's good when you don't have it, but once it appears on screen or in a movie, the canon is now changed, I always bring it back to Captain Kirk. Before the events of Star Trek Generations, you went to Memory Alpha, there would be no death of James T. Kirk. It wasn't until Generations that that canon was actually established. Up until that point, it was beta canon stuff. And ideas the writers had thought about doing. But once that happens, then the actual timeline is fleshed out and we see what's going on. So the Eugenics Wars could have happened anywhere between 1990 and 2023. Spock said it was kind of shaky, so we don't even know. The time travel stuff in correlation to Michael Burnham, they were there for 30 years, but not 30 years while Michael Burnham was doing her thing. She could have gone to the future, and then after she went to the future, but before she arrived, they could have gone back in time and then did whatever they did. So it doesn't conflict with anything, because Michael Burnham went from the 2259, 2260, 970 years in the future. And we know that the time travel stuff with time cop stuff was happening in 28th century and the 29th century, all before she arrived. So she could have gone to the future. Then in, before she arrived by 150 years, the time travel girl could have gone back in time. And then that would have altered the timeline, but not enough to change anything, really. And then we get where we see Khan as a kid instead of a grown adult instead. But then flash forward to the new 2265. Kirk wakes him up. He looks the same age as Montapon did. And then the rest is history. But as far as this episode goes, I thought that most of the music was really good, because it was like a day in the life of, and they were singing what was going on around them. And the songs were really, they were really insightful into the character. But if you weren't caring about the story, then you probably don't care about the song. I thought it was, I couldn't look away. I want to see what they were going to do next. There was a lot of good numbers done in a way that made sense. And the fact that they were acknowledging that they had created basically a small reality, and they had to close it up in order to stop it from having far-reaching implications, because it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So the stakes were pretty big in this. Not to mention, we got to see the Klingons sing, and we got to have the actor who played Hemmerback. And this is the episode that was teased earlier, saying that you aren't going to be able to recognize him. So it wasn't the last episode that we saw him in where we were seeing flashback video. This one was actually him back in real time as a Klingon, being a boy band. Was it the best episode ever? No, but it was good fun. There's a lot of episodes of Star Trek that are okay. Then there's a lot of episodes that are great. But we also got to remember, 24, 25 episodes per season and 7 seasons. We're getting 10 episodes. So when they're okay is most of it, then that's where you kind of start to get the, can we like do something really cool? But then when you want to do something really cool, what is going to be really cool? What hasn't already been done in 50 plus years of Star Trek? It's going to start looking like other episodes. And as far as music was going compared to other episodes that had music, they're not the same thing. Like one of my favorite episodes of Voyager is when the doctor was singing, and he had to like do something with Tuvok or whatever to help save his life, and he was singing the whole entire time, that part of the thing. That was great. I thought that was very great. Would that have worked for the whole episode? No, it would not have. I don't think it would have been nearly as fun. I think what they did here was really good. Taking one part of another episode and then trying to say that that's better. You have to expand it to the whole episode. Will the whole episode be good as a musical? Not just one part that had music in it. There was a lot of character development. There was a lot of things that were going from a character perspective, which is what this was. Nurse Chapel, Spock, Uhura, Pike, and his girlfriend Marie. Can never say her last name right. I thought all that stuff was spectacular. I was like, wow, we're really getting into these characters. And that's the thing. If you're not into the characters, you're not going to be into the music, and you're not going to be into the episode. That's just the facts. So, but I would probably rate this, if I had to rate it, I'd probably say it's a 7.5, 8, somewhere in there. Would I watch it again? I would definitely watch it again. Not everyone's going to be a singer, right? It's kind of like the show Glee, where everyone is this perfect singer. They don't even need the Glee class. Why do they need the Glee class? They're already perfect singers. I think the fact that they're in a pocket universe and people were singing that weren't singers actually helped the realism of what was happening to these people. Because they aren't singers. So they're singing, but they're singing themselves. Rather than it feeling like Katy Perry is trying to go on America's Got Talent to go sing a song, and she's already got a bunch of records and everything else and world-round famous. It's not the same thing as a regular person trying to break in the industry and sing their heart out and have to get a voice coach and everything else. So the fact that some of the cast wasn't the best singers actually helped it with the realism that it's just everyday people singing a song that has heavy emotional connections to themselves. So I think that of all the shows currently in existence, I think this one was probably going to be the one that I would want it to be with, because it's paving the road for all of these characters. All these characters, this is their formative time. This is before Pike gets injured. This is before Uhura becomes on the bridge with Kirk. This is before Spock turns into who Spock becomes. So this is kind of like the blossoming part. Our characters are growing. How they started and where they are now aren't necessarily the same. Uhura has a lot of family stuff going on with her history, her backstory, and she even had a song about that. So to say it was a bad episode, or it was stupid, or it was lame, or it was boring, I think it's just because the people don't necessarily connect with the characters, and they're not really paying attention to what their backstories are, and then they're not listening to the song. They're trying to get a catchy song that might not make sense within the realm of what's happening, because that's what they all were. Like, they were all talking about stuff in the scans and everything else, and all of a sudden they started launching into a song that was about what they were doing, like on the bridge when number one was saying everything is fine. It was in song, and they were able to cleverly put lyrics into it while attaching it to what was happening in the scene to make it all make sense. Otherwise, it would be like that one cute scene with the Klingons where the chair goes backwards and kind of does like a fourth wall break type thing. That is only cute once. You don't want to do it the entire episode. So you want it really grounded in reality. So I think that they did a really good job. And the only thing that irritates me is we only have one episode left. One. Until that's it. Next week is the season finale of Strange New Worlds. And nothing's in production until the writer's strike and the actor's strike is done and the negotiating studios relents and give these people what they deserve. Because without them, there's no studio people to do anything. All these executives should be worried they're going to be laid off pretty soon. Because if you don't got no material to produce, then you got no reason to have your job. So eventually, whether it's saved the business $100 million, $100 billion, your executives are starting going to be laid off and they're going to have to go get a job at Wendy's or something. But this will conclude my podcast.